Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you, as always, by the great folks over at touringplans.com. Knowledge is power, and with a touringplans.com premium subscription, you're going to have all the tools at your fingertips to plan a great Disneyland or Walt Disney World trip. You're going to have the 365-day crowd calendar to plan out your park days before you head to your Disney destination. And then once you arrive, you'll have the smartphone application lines, which gives you everything you need to stay out of lines and see those attractions that you know and love. It's a great service, and you need to check this out if you haven't already. Check them out today and support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 507 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and we're settling into 2013 now. Hopefully you had a great weekend, lots of fun with family and friends, and we're going to get back to work here and talk some Disney to ease our way back into another work week. Today we have another great trip report show prepared for you, and today we're going to sit down with our friend Eric Lancy from up in Pennsylvania. How's it going, Eric?
Great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and it's going to be fun, you know, kind of getting back into, I guess, the routine here in mid-January, and I guess to fight off those January blues, what else can you do but talk some Disney?
Absolutely. To me, if you're not in Disney World, you're just one day closer to your next trip, so it's always a good time.
I like that attitude, one day closer to your next trip when you're back home. That's good stuff.
Thank you.
All right, so let's talk about your recent trip that you took, you know, but a few months back, and this was a really unique trip. I know we talked about it over email, in that you got to go down at the very tail end of the Halloween season, but also in the same trip got to experience Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. So you got to kind of see the dynamics of two major holidays down at Walt Disney World. So that's kind of, you know, going to be a nice discussion for us today. But kind of give us the details, like who you traveled with, where you stayed, and all that good stuff.
Our family trip to Disney World every year is always myself, my wife, Kim, and then our two children. I have an 8-year-old, Peyton, and my 3-year-old, actually, it was her fourth birthday trip, Mia. We went down, we actually left on Halloween. We flew down to Orlando the morning of Halloween, and we stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge's Kidani Village, and we were there for 10 nights. And that was sort of that was really planned after last year experiencing in 2011 or so, the year before last, experiencing the Food and Wine Festival for the first time, and then also going to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween. We desperately wanted to go back because we loved it so much, and we had to sort of negotiate, talk our 8-year-old into missing the events at school on Halloween. And it was a tough sell. As difficult as that may be to imagine, it was difficult to sell him on the fact that he wasn't going to be able to go to the parade in his school's parking lot for the trick-or-treating parade that they have there, but instead he could trick-or-treat at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween. And when we were planning, if we plan it just right, we might be able to see Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party as well. And it just so happened that our first day there, we got to go to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween. And then we also, the night before we left, was the first Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. And because we love the party so much, even though it's a pricey event, we ended up going to the last Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party as well on November 2nd. So we got to see two Halloween parties plus the Christmas party. So we did three of the hard ticket item, the hard ticket events at Disney World.
And that's interesting because you don't usually get that opportunity unless the cards fall just right to do two different hard ticket events during, you know, or the parties during a trip. And we were talking before we started recording that, you know, even though it is January now and the holidays, you know, Halloween and Christmas have gone by, that the DVC booking window does open up for these, you know, this time frame for 2013 here real soon, or actually right about this week. So, you know, I think this is going to be a great show for people that may be DVC and thinking about, you know, I can't decide whether to do the Halloween party or the Christmas party, you know, how I want to see the parks decorated. And you mentioned that, you know, it was kind of nice to be down there this week because with your 10 nights, you had a good long stay and you got to see kind of the best of both worlds.
We did, and even if you can't, in my opinion, because they actually spaced out compared to 2011, there was actually a few more days in between from the last Halloween party to the first Christmas party. In 2011, I believe it was just a week. I think it was 7 days, and we were sort of hoping on that because, of course, as any Uber Disney fan, I think most of us do, we either have some sort of spreadsheet or something where we're tracking everything, trying to keep check of the dining reservations, park hours. And based on what happened in 2011, I was anticipating that the first Christmas party may be on November 6th or November 7th. As it happened, it wasn't until November 9th, but I think that was by design because we got to be there for some of the Fantasyland, the new Fantasyland as well. And I think they were trying to give a little more time in between the last Halloween party to the first Christmas party just because they were then beginning annual pass holder, D23 members, and also DVC previews for the new Fantasyland. So there was a lot going on in the 10 or 11 days that we were there.
Yeah, this was a very unique year. I mean, like you said, I mean, you can look back historically and see, you know, on the calendar, make educated guesses like you did, but I think it was unprecedented with how much was going on during this week. I mean, you had, you know, the Food and Wine half marathon was happening that first weekend as well, which they had done the race before, but they had never done it on the last weekend of the Food and Wine Festival, you know, in conjunction with, I believe it was Veterans Day at the same time. I mean, it was just, you know, the cards kind of fell in place into a unique situation for you guys, especially towards the beginning of your trip.
It was a lot of fun because in our first three nights, we were able to go to two Halloween parties, and then the day after the last Halloween party, which would have been Saturday, November 3rd, that's when they started the new Fantasyland previews for annual pass holders and DVC members. So, and I felt we sort of got a little more bang for our buck was that even during the Halloween parties, they had new Fantasyland open. So even though you're paying that premium dollar for those tickets, you got to preview essentially before everybody else. You still got to see some of New Fantasyland, and they hit a home run with that. I could spend hours just the detail and just the impeccable mastery of New Fantasyland. And so that was a lot of fun to see that at the beginning of the trip. And then you could tell I believe the previews officially started around the 19th or the 20th of November. As we started to get later into the trip, they started to have more previews. So the daily previews to the general public were less and less. But then they started extending park hours until 1 a.m. And by 9 p.m., 10 p.m. at night, you were starting to see very few people in the Magic Kingdom. And you really, that was a lot of fun because we were getting some great nighttime activity in the Magic Kingdom on off nights where there wasn't a hard ticket event.
And with your kids being, you know, younger, not teenagers or anything, but they were able to have the stamina to keep up with this kind of touring?
Well, not exactly. We actually, and that's, you try to have a great plan of attack, a great touring plan. On my phone, I'm constantly trying to see what wait times are, things like that. But our first few days, we got to Disney World on the 31st, and immediately my daughter had an appointment at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique in the Magic Kingdom, and we were at the Magic Kingdom until midnight. And then the next morning, we had reservations for breakfast at the Tusker House at the Animal Kingdom. And then Friday morning, we had breakfast reservations at Cinderella's Table, and then the Halloween party that night. So our first 2 days were really sort of at a breakneck pace. And we realized that we needed to slow down and pull back because our kids are young, and young enough to where they will sort of let you think that they can go on and on and on, but you can start to see just in their energy levels, their attitudes start to change around day three that we started then really started, we started to take, some great time to sleep in or go back to the resort in the early afternoon. We had just beautiful weather, mid 80s, even in the first week of November. So we had great pool time, at some of the resorts and at the Animal Kingdom Lodge specifically. They have, in the evenings, they roast marshmallows or have story time, or they actually have drum lessons in the library at Kidani Village. So there were some evenings where we would just hang out at the resort and maybe have dinner, something like that, and maybe after a nice easy day, then go to the parks in the evening, because I'm such a fan of the parks at night, and I love the parades and the fireworks at night. That we enjoy seeing that, but you can't be there rope drop to kiss goodnight every day. You just can't. With I know our children, we couldn't do that, and we had enough time to where we could break up our days.
You know, and I have a 4-year-old as well, and we're the same way. That, you know, I get down there and I get excited, just like it sounds like the beginning of your trip. I fall kind of into that same trap a lot of times, because you know a good Disney fan knows, be there at rope drop. You're gonna really get a great bang for your time when you get there at rope drop. You're gonna be ahead of the crowds. But then again, I'm like you, especially in the summertime. I like to go back after dark. It's a little bit cooler. Mm-hmm. The parks take on a different persona at night. And, you know, and there's other things. They said like fireworks and, you know, nighttime parades and just special events. And the feel of the parks at night are great. But also, it catches up to you. You can't do night extra magic hours on top of rope drop the next morning. And, you know, I think that's a great point, that pool time and sleeping in has to happen, even though you hate to sleep on a Disney vacation. If you go and go and go, it can turn into a nightmare really quickly.
It can, and we found we really immerse ourselves in sort of that resort experience at Disney World, from Magical Express to the resort back. The resort buses, we really do immerse ourselves, because we spend so much energy at the parks, taking care of our children, things like that, that to me, one of those things that I don't want to have to deal with is driving in a strange city that I'm not familiar with. And after a party that ends at midnight, trying to then drive back to the resort, I would rather stand in line for 15 minutes at the bus stops at the Magic Kingdom or at any park and have the bus take us back to the resort. I enjoy that. But what we started to realize was that even though we've always traditionally loved things like the Disney Dining Plan, because we felt that gave us sort of a break in the day, our children now at their ages, what we realized is things like table service meals were becoming more of a hassle, because they were becoming, it wasn't so much downtime where we were regrouping or recharging. It was idle time where our kids were starting to fidget, and the server doing the best that they can is trying to get our check or get refills on drinks. And the kids just want to get back to whatever it is that they're doing, whether it's going swimming or going to a park or seeing Fantasmic. They wanted to do things, and sitting there in a restaurant, it seemed as though this trip, we seemed to take away a learning experience every trip that we tried to then implement for the next trip. And what we found was that we think that sort of the grab and go mentality of eating for us is starting to work for our family, because on days that we didn't have reservations for table service meals, we were doing much better, because we ate when we wanted to eat. If someone was hungry but somebody else wasn't, we weren't trying to schedule around an ADR. And that was sort of a takeaway for us. We felt that we started to develop or devise our own touring plan on this trip.
You know, and that does make sense. I know that the dining experience at Walt Disney World is a very much, for me and my family, a part of the experience, because we don't, in St. Louis, go out to very, you know, fancy restaurants or anything like that, especially the themed experiences you can have down there. But you're right. I mean, when you have, and I'm getting, you know, I'm there with a 4-year-old and, you know, the 16-year-old now just puts her head down and texts, which we try to, you know, discourage. But I think that's about an impossible battle anymore. But I know what you're saying. And I think that's a great way you described it, with idle time. It's not necessarily downtime, because, you know, you do have certain expectations at the dinner table, but it's not, you know, you can't, the kids can't cut loose and run around the pool, or, you know, just get out there, you know, just really chill like they could back at the resort watching some of their favorite TV or something. That's a great point. I mean, it gives you more flexibility. You're not, you know, tied down to these ADRs. Like, I think a lot of times it happens for us, you know, it's like we you're on vacation, but, you know, at 4:30, you have to be here for that meal. And it is kind of refreshing when you don't have that.
It is. And we tried, we were in Disney World for the marathon in 2011, and we tried more breakfast ADRs, thinking that if we started our day with a nice meal and we weren't then leaving a park or an experience to go to an ADR, that may help. But there's only so many different varieties of pancakes and eggs that you can have. And one of the criticisms that is becoming more prevalent in the Disney community is that the food is becoming more streamlined, where you're not seeing as much variety. And after a certain point, when you're sitting down for a meal, in my opinion, if you're not going to one of the more authentic restaurants in the World Showcase in Epcot, you are, the experience or the cuisine that you're having is very similar from restaurant to restaurant. So, and it just so happened that on our trip, the takeaway of our favorite meal was absolutely Via Napoli in Epcot. We absolutely loved the experience of eating in that restaurant. We've made ADR, I think we've booked reservations there every trip since 2010, and we always end up canceling them, because in my opinion, it's so hard to book a table service in Epcot, especially during Food and Wine. Yes. You have almost unlimited options. And to me, it's difficult to even eat in Future World in Epcot, because you've got the World Showcase and you've got this great authentic cuisine, whether you want just to go, or my favorite is the patisserie in France. I absolutely love that bakery, and you have all of these choices. So booking that table service is sort of difficult, but we made a decision that we wanted good pizza. I remember saying to my wife, Ricky Niblett has said that it's forget your husband's name, good pizza. And honest to goodness, I mean, we went there and I still think she has some trouble remembering what my name is. My wife is just now starting to come to that I'm Eric. But it was that good of an experience, and the kids loved it as well. But it wasn't sort of that. It's a different type of atmosphere, and I think that we've experienced every character meal, I think, in Disney World probably 5 times, and it sort of does become the same thing. And we found out that as we were waiting for a parade, if somebody wanted a hot dog from Casey's or a burger from Pecos Bill's, it just, no matter what it was, it seemed to be easier, and it seemed to be more comfortable for our family, for my wife and I, and for our kids, if we were able to eat sort of at everyone's own pace, as opposed to that sort of that structure. So that was a big takeaway for us on this trip.
Ricky's going to get a kick out of that. I love that. So well, let me ask you this, because we're kind of on food, but I want to kind of shift over to Kidani Village. And I'm assuming you guys are DVC, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you have stayed, you know, many places down at Walt Disney World, I'm sure. During this trip, how did Kidani compare to other DVC or villa type accommodations? What did you think about, you know, the pools and you know, even the dining options? Because I hear that's one of the issues with Kidani.
Well, this is our second time staying at Kidani. We sort of in the minority, we love the Animal Kingdom Lodge. We love the experience of that. It's just far away enough from everything, excuse me, that It's almost a vacation outside of the vacation. And you're really sort of by yourself. And we love what we love about the resort, I think, more than anything, is that you can walk out onto your balcony in the morning and there are animals just everywhere. We had four giraffes and zebras and some sort of elk that were outside of our balcony. It seemed every day, and most of the day they were outside. So you get to just sort of watch that experience, and it's almost like a mini Kilimanjaro safari right outside of your villa. So we enjoy staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. My daughter and I prefer the Jumbo House. My daughter, if you've ever been to the Jumbo House, the fifth floor, which is the DVC floor, there is a bridge that actually spans across the lobby in the Jumbo House. And my daughter absolutely loves that bridge. And I enjoy the Jumbo House not so much because the Mara, which is the counter service restaurant, is in the Jumbo House. I feel like it just feels perfect to me. It really does. It's hard to explain because Kidani Village is beautiful, but it doesn't feel quite the same, or it doesn't seem to have the same ambiance as the Jumbo House. It's beautiful. And from what I understand, the architecture in Kidani Village is much more authentic to what you would find in an African resort than what you see in the Jumbo House. But we enjoy the Animal Kingdom Lodge. We also, our kids, as I think no matter which pool it is, I think children just love swimming pools. And Kidani Village has a great swimming pool. And they actually have, they have an area just outside of the pool where they have these snakes that almost look like, I believe his name is Ka from the Jungle Book. Mm-hmm. They're water sprayers. So the kids can run through those, and there's a great water slide for the kids. But our kids, of course, their favorite pool is Stormalong Bay at the Beach Club. And we love the Beach Club. My favorite thing about the Beach Club as a runner is that I love that run from the gates at Hollywood Studios to the gate at the International Gateway at Epcot. That is a great loop. It's just about 3 miles to go from Hollywood Studios down through the boardwalk, past the Yacht and Beach Club, and up to the International Gateway. So I absolutely love if you do a full loop on that, it's just over 3 miles, and I love that running along that path. So we've really enjoyed those. It's difficult because there are pros and cons, I think, to every DVC resort, as there are to, I think, all of the resorts on property. Bay Lake Tower is a great resort, if for nothing else, just its proximity to the Magic Kingdom, especially if you have small children. But the villas are all, they're the smallest on property. Old Key West, by contrast, is the original DVC resort, has the largest rooms, and it's the only DVC resort that you do not have a bed and a pull-out sofa. You actually have two queen beds in every studio villa. But it's, of course, its proximity to the four parks. It's a hike. It's a travel to all of the four parks. If you really enjoy spending time at Downtown Disney, Old Key West and Saratoga Springs are fantastic. But it's difficult, especially Saratoga Springs, if you're staying at the Treehouse Villas, because from what I understand, a bus ride just to get to the main house at Saratoga Springs. But I understand when people say at Kidani Village, if somebody wants something to eat, and there I believe there was at least one night that we came back from whichever park it was, and I thought, boy, it would be nice to be able to just grab something to eat quickly, but there really isn't anything quick to get because you have to walk. You have to either walk from Kidani Village to the Jumbo House, which I say it's only a half of a mile, but it's still a half of a mile if you're walking. And then if you're carrying food, you're carrying food back a half of a mile. And then depending on where your room is located inside the building itself, And I don't see where it would be advantageous for anybody to take one of the buses, because the park buses stop at Kidani Village and then the Jumbo House. I don't see any advantage to trying to carry a tray of food from the Jumbo House to Kidani Village on a park bus. So yeah. It does. There are some challenges to that resort, but I hate to say negative things about Disney, especially Imagineering, but it seemed like right around that 2008-2009 time frame, they were trying to get buildings up and not necessarily think about things like counter service dining for their guests, because they did the same thing essentially at Bay Lake Tower. You have to walk over to the main contemporary building to go. If you want even a counter service option, you have to walk over to Tempo Cafe at the Contemporary Resort.
Yeah, I'm shocked that we're in 2013 and they haven't remedied that, because you know what? I know things aren't simple. I mean, I know this is probably more complex than I'm thinking it is, but I'm thinking just for guest satisfaction's sake. I mean, because this is the thing that we keep hearing time and time again, you know, great theme, great pool, really immersive atmosphere, but it's really hard to get something to eat when you get back at 7 o'clock in the evening and you just, you know, you're craving for a pizza or, you know, a burger or something.
The private dining option, but if you're somebody that's on the dining plan, that's a signature experience to have in-room dining, to have room service. So if you get a burger, which is $15, and you're on the dining plan and you want to use dining credits, it's no different than going to Le Cellier and getting the mushroom filet. And to me, that's
laughable.
Foolishness and to every level. And the, even if you get something at the pool bar, because the Mahi pool bar or Maji pool bar outside of the pool at Kidani Village has some food options, and the food is coming from Sanaa, essentially. And I think that they have – it seems like there's some space downstairs on the bottom level where Sanaa is at, where they might be able to either build out or use some of that space there to have a counter service option, because I can see where somebody wants something like the Mara, because as far as counter service goes, the Mara gets just incredibly good ratings from everybody as far as the quality of food.
Absolutely. I mean, we hear good things about that, and you know, just do the same thing over at Kidani. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. I mean, I don't think people's expectations are that high when it comes to a quick, you know, not a grab and go, but a counter service place, because, you know, even if you're stepping outside of the theme slightly, which they, you know, would or maybe or not, I don't know, maybe not, but kids, I mean, from all over the world want a burger, want a slice of pizza at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night while they're running back and forth from the pool. I mean, I don't care if it disturbs the theme a little bit. That's just kind of a thing people want on vacation.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I'm actually, I'm interested to see what's going to happen at the Grand Floridian DVC property once that is built, to see if they do add a counter service option, just because in the last few years, and it really started, I think, with the development of New Fantasyland, Imagineering is just paying attention to every detail. And I would expect it might be a little better than what we've seen in the last two properties that went up.
Agreed. I mean, yeah, because they have to hear this. I mean, if we're hearing it, Disney's hearing it. I mean, we're a little podcast out of St. Louis. I'm sure that they're hearing this time and time again.
I think so as well.
All right. So before we go today, because we are running a little long here, but I want to hear about something, because you have lots of experience down at Disney. And I'm always curious about this, because, you know, we go to the major theme parks, we go to the resort and have a good time in the pool and stuff like that. But what do you tend to do as a family, you know, outside of the theme parks? Like, how do you use Downtown Disney, the water parks, something like Disney Quest? Do you guys ever take advantage of any of the outside the parks things?
We love Downtown Disney. As a matter of fact, as soon as we got checked into our villa the day we got there, the first thing we did was we went to Downtown Disney because we wanted holiday sandwiches from Earl of Sandwich.
Oh, nice.
So we couldn't wait to get to – I think we planned that before we booked any – ADRs just because we couldn't wait to get to Earl of Sandwich. We love the downtown Disney area. One of the fun things that we got to do, because my daughter Mia got to experience the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and this was a trip for her fourth birthday. But so that my 8-year-old Peyton didn't feel left out, or that he wasn't getting any sort of individual experiences for himself, we took him to Ride Makers, which is inside of the and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the. It's the Mickey Sports Store.
I think it's Team Mickey. I believe.
You're right. It is Team Mickey. But in the back of the store, it's called Ride Makers, and you build custom remote controlled cars. And just for some downtime at Downtown Disney, we went down one morning and my daughter and my wife were shopping, just looking at different things. And my daughter loves Little Mismatch, which my understanding is it's everything comes in sets of, like, socks come in sets of three, and none of the three socks match, which is really fun, I'm sure, on laundry day. But they were shopping, and my son was just looking at the. They have a little area where you can test remote control cars, and within a few minutes he was building his own, and he had such a fun experience because they actually make it look like it's sort of a race car building area, because they have little electric screwdrivers and wrenches that come down out of the ceiling, and that's what you use to fasten your chassis your body to the chassis, and the kids get to do it, and they get to select custom wheels, tires, all sorts of different things. So he really enjoyed that. We enjoy, if nothing else, just walking around and just sort of enjoying the atmosphere of Downtown Disney. We've never experienced, which I think as our kids get a little older, we've never experienced the water parks, just because we weren't sure that we would find it a good value. But one of the things, and I don't know if this was new in 2012, but now park tickets and annual passes, even for the premium passes or for if you're buying Magic Your Way tickets, it's such a small addition to add the water parks and more experience to the theme park tickets, that I think on our next trip we're going to do that, just because my son, he watches Stacy on the Disney TV and watches her at Blizzard Beach on that enormous slide, and he begged this entire trip, can we please do that? And Typhoon Lagoon had gone down for refurbishment just before we got there, but of course Blizzard Beach was still open, and he wanted to go in the worst way. But the problem was we had so many different things booked that we just were afraid we weren't going to have time to do that. And a lot of our downtime, if we're not doing some shopping at, say, Downtown Disney, or even in the theme parks, we like to do some shopping. We love to be at the pool at the resort, and we always try to do one thing as the sort of the best battery charger for our family is we have one night where we have dinner at the resort and book sort of an early dinner at the resort, so that after dinner we go back to the villa, back to the room, and we take a few Disney DVDs with us, and we put in a Disney DVD in the room, and usually within the first 30 minutes or so, everybody's sleeping because everybody's that tired. But it's sort of a great way to just, that's the great way to refresh ourselves, is with an early dinner at the resort, and then we go back and we did that this trip. We had dinner at Boma, went back to the resort and put on a movie, and it was maybe 7:30 or so, and by 8 o'clock, a little after eight, everybody was sleeping. We got up the next day and everybody was ready to go again. And that is a great way that we spend our downtime. But we're getting less and less downtime because this year, for the first time with a 4-year-old, she was able to ride the attractions that were at 40 inches. She just barely made that. So we, instead of really using the rider swap or the rider switch like we always have, we as a family got to ride a lot of things together. So now we have two roller coaster nuts in our, as our children, that just want to ride as much as they can every day.
And yeah, we're in the same spot where Mallory last trip was able to ride Soarin test track. You know, she's there now. So you're right. It totally changes how you see the parks. And, you know, I think she's starting to go through, and I don't know if your 4-year-old is, but she's kind of getting a little nervous. She's been on Splash Mountain a couple times, but now doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So I think she's getting in that nervous stage, but hopefully she gets over that by July.
Yeah, we haven't experienced that except on my daughter Beg, because my son talked it up so much. Peyton talked about the Tower of Terror so much and how fantastic it was that Mia begged to go on it. And we were really apprehensive about allowing her to go on it. She got off of it and she said, I don't want to go on that again. But everything else is Splash Mountain, Thunder Mountain. She loved Soarin. She couldn't, and she was more than willing to wait 90 minutes if she had to. She wanted to ride Soarin in the worst way. She, as a matter of fact, is still talking about Soarin and Big Thunder Mountain. They were her favorites this year, which was quite a bit different from things like the teacups or Dumbo.
Absolutely. It's fun how Walt Disney World changes as your kids, you know, progress through life. And as we do too, I mean, our tastes change from one trip to the other. And I think that's what keeps us coming back time and time again. I mean, I really believe that. So, before we get out of here, so we're going to kind of wrap this up with your final thoughts on folks that are considering maybe going down at this time, maybe this week, you know, in 2013, that, you know, very into the Halloween season, going into the beginning of the Christmas season. Any tips that you learned? I mean, you guys did 3 hard ticket events. I mean, was that too much? Was that just right? How did it change your touring?
Go ahead. I would say 3 hard ticket events is one too many. We did not need to go to the second Halloween party on November 2nd. The reason that we did was we were afraid, because of the Halloween party selling out on Halloween, that we weren't going to get to experience everything as much as we love the Halloween party. So I would say it was one too many. I would recommend it to anybody, because you leave the Magic Kingdom one day decorated for Halloween, and the next day you go and it's decorated for Christmas. And even before, I believe, the first Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party was on November 9th, but on Wednesday, November 7th, they had the first castle lighting. So even if in the show on the castle stage, they had the entire thing. So even if you just want to see Walt Disney World decorated for Christmas, but you want to be there for Halloween, the crowds are incredibly low during that week. Even with the half marathon for Food and Wine that weekend, the crowds were still so manageable. And we got to have such a great experience, and we got to see fall and winter. And there's nothing like seeing the castle lit up with the Christmas lights, especially if you get to see it for the first time that year. Our family got to see the very first castle lighting of 2012. And that's something that for our children, it didn't mean much to them. They enjoyed seeing the castle lit up. But for my wife and I, it was really special to see for the first time, and it was our first time seeing the castle lit up, because we've only been there after Christmas, not before. So we got to see it for the first time that it was done this year, and it just, that was that magic that we got to have this year, was just things like that.
All right. Well, you know, it sounds like you guys had just an awesome trip, and you guys know how to do Walt Disney World so that, you know, everybody gets their personal favorites in, and you make sure that the family's taken care of so that nobody has a meltdown, which everybody appreciates, not just you, but all the fellow guests. I know that everybody appreciates that as well. So we appreciate you giving us this time and taking us back to Walt Disney World today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mike. It was so much fun to speak with you.
All right. And Happy New Year to you and your family as well, a little bit late.
Same to you.
Thank you so much. And don't forget, today's episode has been brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. And when you're headed down to Walt Disney World, we are now actually finally heading into the slower times down at Walt Disney World. But you know what? Knowledge means power. That if you have the touringplans.com premium subscription, you can look right down there on your phone to see, you know, what do we have here as far as wait times? You know, do I have to walk all the way across the park to see what the wait time is for Space Mountain right now? You don't have to do that. Just get a touringplans.com premium subscription, and you'll have all the information you need to make great choices down at Walt Disney World and out at Disneyland Resort. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Don't forget, this Sunday is our next Be Our Guest podcast live show over there on MagicalMouseRadio.com. We'll take to the airwaves on Sunday night, January 20th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, taking your calls for 2 hours straight, and we'd love to have you be a part of the show. So put it on your calendar now. Join us this Sunday, January 20th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, over there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Don't forget, MagicalMouseRadio.com plays great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you need to escape to Walt Disney World to fight off those January blues, we have the cure for you over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter, twitter.com/BeOurGuestMike, on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, come on over and join us on the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. Don't forget also, as the new year is started, we'd love you to download the app, the Be Our Guest Podcast Trip Planner app, so you can have everything associated with the podcast in one place. Check that out in the iTunes App Store and also in the Android Marketplace. Free app. It's called the Be Our Guest Podcast Trip Planner app for all those new devices that you're starting to get used to having here in the middle of January. So for Eric, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Thank you so much for downloading the podcast. We love having you on the other end as a friend, because I know that you need to escape to Walt Disney World just like I do. So we hope that you have a great week. Work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.